This is the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting Mahamantra Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. By this practice of chanting and hearing the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice, and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusha means enjoyer. Although every living entity belongs to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are in material contamination. They think themselves enjoyers, but they are not the Supreme Enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated that the Supreme Enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different manifestations and plenary expansions as Narayan, Vasudev, etc. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, in any of his features, Narayan, Krishna, Ram, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting, he will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice and meditation. Yoga practice is meditation on the super soul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is fickle, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am very grateful to be once again given the opportunity to serve all of you here in the great city of Mumbai. We are reading from the 8th chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Attaining the Supreme. In this particular verse, the very essence of all perfections is described and exactly how to achieve it. Krishna is all pure. He is the reservoir of all attractive qualities. By remembering Krishna, gradually we become purified. The symptom of purification is very simple. The natural inclination to be attracted to Krishna grows more and more in our heart, and simultaneously, the attractions to everything else becomes less and less. Srila Prabhupada explained that when you are sick with fever, the proof that you're getting well is that the fever goes down. This material world, we are all suffering due to a great fever. The fever of material attachment. The symptom that we are coming back to our natural spiritual health is these attractions are becoming less. But it is the nature of the soul to try to find some object to repose its affection in. Everyone is looking to be attracted to something or someone, somewhere, and somehow. The mind, the senses are constantly scanning the material environment to try to find something or someone to be attracted to and try to squeeze some sort of pleasure out of that sense of attraction. It is our constitutional nature. We can try to forget it. We can try to extinguish it, but it is not possible. Therefore, the only path by which we can be fully satisfied is the path of devotional service, or bhakti. Because through Krishna consciousness, we are coming in contact with that attractive quality of Krishna, which will give eternal pleasure to the soul. Otherwise, birth after birth after birth, we're searching and searching and searching for something to repose this desire of attraction toward. Prahlad Maharaj explains this process as puna punas charavata charavananam, chewing the chewed. Because we have such an inherent nature to taste something sweet, we have to have it. Therefore, even a chewed up piece of sugar cane that we've spit out 100 million times before, we'll chew it again, trying to find some drop of sweetness. Why? If we were trying to understand material existence from a logical point of view, it's absurd and insane. We've had all these pleasures through various species of life millions of times. We've been frustrated and still we're so eager to get it again. The pleasure of acquisition, acquisition of material prosperity, the pleasure of fame, the pleasure of perfecting various abilities, physical, intellectual, the pleasure of relation with opposite sex, the pleasure of eating foods, the pleasure of sleeping in various places. We've had these pleasures millions and millions of times. Every single time they have ended in frustration. And still, we are so eager, anxious, searching to do it again. Is there any logic to this? Because we have no alternative, it seems very logical. When you're in a state of utter desperation, anything can seem logical. It's all just justification of the mind because you want to do it again. But Prahlad Maharaj is very blunt. 5-year-old child, but he was so honest, not only to his father, but to you and me. He told Hiranyakashipu, "Oh, best of the demons, Just give up all these material attachments, go to Vrindavan and worship Radha and Krishna. He had nothing to hide. So similarly, he's telling us, all your attempts for happiness in this material world is nothing more than chewing that which has already been chewed 100 million times. By who? By you. You've spit it out. You've spit it out. You've spit it out. You've spit it out 1 million times and still you're picking it up. Not only are you picking it up, but you're so eager to get it again. And if that old 8 million year piece of sugar cane that you've chewed and spit out 8 million times, if it's in a foreign country, you'll be willing to travel all that way to get it. If you have to declare war against the whole world, sacrifice your own loved ones, your friends, your own life, you have to get that piece of sugar cane. Because there's a hope. I'll get some drop of nectar. That's material life. Puna punascharavata charavanana. Why? Because the soul is inherently, we can say, programmed to love Krishna. And Krishna is all attractive. We're actually addicted, the soul is addicted to Krishna. How can it not be? When there's the charm between a young boy and a young girl, there's an infatuation that you can't give up. What to speak of the soul's relation with Krishna? Krishna explains in Gita, all the opulent things in the entire creation is just a spark of His splendor. Not only a spark, a perverted reflection of a spark of His splendor. What is the beauty of Krishna? What is the opulence of the attraction of Krishna? Thoroughly, spiritually intoxicating to the soul. The soul needs that. But due to forgetfulness that Krishna is the origin of all pleasure that we're seeking, we're trying to find that same experience of sweetness in this forest of chewed up, spit out sugar cane called the material world. So here Krishna is giving the process. By meditating on Krishna, by always remembering Krishna, gradually we become purified. In that purification, we become attracted again to Krishna. This is culture, where everyone is assembled together in a society to help each other to remember Krishna, to help each other become purified. Human life has no other real purpose but purification. Whatever our occupation, whatever our social obligations, whatever our varna or ashram, it is only actually productive in our life to the degree it helps us to become more purified. Material enjoyment is not purify us, unless enjoyment is in connection to pleasing Krishna. Then we become purified. The path of bhakti is full of enjoyment. But it's a different type of enjoyment. Materialistic people cannot understand it. Just yesterday, one of our devotees' mothers, actually two of our devotees' mothers, There are two devotees who are brahmacharis. The mother was so broken-hearted and so much distressed that her two sons became brahmacharis. She was thinking, how will they enjoy life? Sleeping on a floor, eating whatever they're given, no possessions, no sex life, no children, no grandchildren, no great-grandchildren. It was very difficult. So she was very much antagonistic in her own way. But then what happened is, somehow or other, she began to understand what is Krishna consciousness. She's chanting 1625 rounds every day, probably more than her sons. She comes to the temple again and again and again. She comes to yatras. During lectures, she's crying in happiness. And she told us. She said, "Swamiji, my only desire is bless my two sons that they will never become entangled in material life again." And she said, "I'm very angry with my sons because when they became Krishna conscious and they joined the ashram, they never took the time to preach to me." Yes, Raghupati? This is not just one of my stories. This is true. She said, "If they would have told me how beautiful and wonderful Krishna is and how ecstatic devotional service is, I would have joined before them. But they never told me these things. They hid these things from me. And they've been enjoying all the nectar and I've been suffering and criticizing." So that's her only anger with her sons now, is why didn't you preach to me before and give me this nectar? So it's true that the pastimes of Krishna, the names of Krishna, the acts of devotional service are real happiness. Even the austerities of Krishna consciousness, if they're performed with faith, they bring inner fulfillment to the heart. A much greater fulfillment than all the sense gratification available in all the 14 worlds. Even the pains and the sufferings that our bodies and mind may have to go through to practice Krishna consciousness properly and to perform our service, if there's some faith in doing it, it brings the heart an inner fulfillment, a real purpose of existing for the highest cause. And a person who has this attraction to Krishna naturally wants to share it with others. We read about Rupan Sanatan Goswami. We read about Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a successful personality even in this conventional world. He was just magistrate under the British government and he was the best there was. His efficiency, his loyalty, his responsibility was unparalleled. They had so much confidence in his integrity that the most troubled places they would send him, where no one else could solve problems. And he would go there and solve the problems expertly. But how? He utilized everything and every part of his life to ultimately offer to Krishna. With the wealth he gained, with the position of respect he gained, he preached. Tens and thousands of people's lives were transformed by his preaching. He was speaking from Gita, from Bhagavad, having public lectures. Even the greatest renunciates would come to him. He had 10 children and a wife. And the most austere, renounced Paramhamsa Babajis would come to hear him speak from Srimad Bhagavat. He would write very, very elevated, eloquent literatures propounding pure devotional service. He wrote hundreds of beautiful songs in praise of Krishna and the path of bhakti. It is explained that he very, very much wanted to establish the real birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because by doing so, he could attract people from all over India and all over the world to understand the glory of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So most of us know the story how he discovered this place through years of extensive research of scriptures, geographical maps, interviews with various great saintly persons. And ultimately the confirmation was when Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who was over 120 years old, who was carried around in a basket with a hunched back, who hadn't walked in years, when he came to that place where nothing would grow except Tulsi, he leaped in the air chanting Jai Sachinandana Gauda Hari. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he accepted the position of a beggar. Here's a magistrate, a judge, who lives in a nice estate, who's so highly recognized not only by the British Empire, by royalty, by scholars all over India and the world for his literary contributions, by great paramhamsas, but yet he went door to door without discrimination to anyone's house, asking them to give some contribution to build a temple to glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his birthplace. He did not want anything for himself. He was begging. But in truth, he was begging them to perfect their lives by taking Krishna consciousness. He was begging them to give them the right and the opportunity to participate in the highest cause in all of creation. But still, when you're a beggar, you are abused, you are misunderstood, you are neglected. He was a Vaishnava. He was willing to accept any type of humiliation if it could help give another person the chance to serve Krishna. Because he had that faith. He wanted to share his love, his attraction for Krishna to the people of this world. Srila Sanatana Goswami, he was living in Ramkeli as the prime minister of the king. He had all the powers of the state at his command. He had his own palace, hundreds of servants and maidservants, royal clothes. He had everything and more that anybody could possibly even dream of obtaining in today's world. But yet he left it all behind. to live as a beggar. But what was he begging? He would go door to door, village to village in Vrindavan, simply begging people to take Krishna. It is explained, when he would come to villages, he was so loved by everyone. And yet he would just come with his begging bowl. Today, politicians, they go village to village promising so many things, but nobody loves them. Sanatana Goswami came with a begging bowl. He didn't have anything. Slept on the ground under trees. But he gave them Krishna's love. He gave them an attraction to Krishna. They loved him so dearly. Any village he would go to in Brajbhumi, the whole village would come to greet him. They would wait weeks, months, sometimes years for his return. And when he would come, there would be a celebration. Because he loved them so dearly, they loved him. And he knew everything about everyone. He would ask, "How much milk is your cow giving? How many crops is your land giving this year? Have you got your daughter married yet? Your health, how is it? And how is your chanting? What are you reading now?" In this way, he took such a personal interest in people's lives that they knew that this is Krishna loving me through this person. When he would leave, they would all be weeping and crying, "Please don't leave, stay one more day, please just one more day." And when he would there, he would speak the glories of devotional service, speak about the transcendental attributes of Krishna's all attractive qualities. And he would lead everyone in the Sankirtan of the holy names. Recently, one of my very dear godbrothers was telling me a story about an incident he had with Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj. This was in 1976, I believe. It was in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada every morning would go on a walk with devotees. So one day, in the Raman Reti region of Sri Vrindavan Dham, they were walking through a pasture where there were cows grazing and many trees. They were walking and walking. Then Srila Prabhupada sat down under a tree. And Srila Prabhupada was so absorbed in Vrindavan, in the attraction of Krishna's Leela of Vrindavan. When the devotees sat down, they were just thinking, "This is very nice. We're in a pasture and there are so many trees and cows grazing." But Prabhupada gave them a glimpse into the higher reality that they were part of. "We're in a pasture and there are so many trees and cows grazing." But Prabhupada gave them a glimpse into the higher reality that they were part of. He said that the six Goswamis, headed by Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Many of them gave up great royalty to come to live in Vrindavan. He said they wore only discarded cloth that poor people would throw on the roadside. And then even only two pieces, a chadar and a kopin. And they slept on the ground under a different tree every night. Then Srila Prabhupada became transcendentally emotional. He said, this tree that we're sitting under, they slept under this tree. This is a Kalpavriksha tree. Every one of these trees, Krishna Balaram, Krishna and Srimati Radharani performed their leelas. The six Goswamis would sit under this tree. They would sleep under this tree and be completely engrossed in the leela of Radha and Krishna of Vrindavan. And that tree, he pointed to another tree in the pasture. Under these trees, they would sit, they would write their books, their great commentaries of the Vedic literatures, expounding pure devotional service. And under this tree, they would sit together, they would discuss Hari Katha, they would have Hari Kirtan, and under this tree, they would sleep at night. He was pointing to one tree after another, explaining how they were so much ecstatic just to be laying in the dust of Braja under these holy trees. And as he was speaking, the devotees, for the first time in their lives, they were actually experiencing that Rupa Goswami, he's sleeping under this tree. Sanatan Goswami, he would write under this tree. That was Prabhupada's absorption. That is his attraction. That is reality. Because of our dullness, our blindness, we cannot see. But reality is full of unlimited sweetness and beauty. Reality is Krishna. If we remember Krishna, at the beginning stages, that remembrance of Krishna cleanses our heart. And in the purified state, the remembrance of Krishna awakens immortal ecstatic love. So what greater benediction is there in all the world than the opportunity to remember Krishna? This is the essence and the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Kapila Dev tells his mother, the conclusion of all Sankhya philosophy, the ultimate goal of all the scriptures, although there are many scriptures in the world that have been revealed by the Lord, with so many rules, regulations, injunctions, and many stories, the conclusion is to follow two injunctions. To always remember Krishna. To never forget Krishna. As devotees, we hear this again and again. But how important it is to our life. When we associate with devotees, the beauty of that association is reminding each other of what is really worthwhile in our existence. Because as soon as you leave the association of devotees, the propaganda of Maya will tell you everything else. This material existence is designed specifically for the purpose of frustrating your life by causing you to forget Krishna. What is the law that permeates this earth planet?
everywhere you go. We're all being victimized by it at every moment of our life. It is the law of gravity. Please, you've all heard of the law of gravity, but let us for a few moments contemplate what it symbolizes, what effect it has on our existence. The law of this planet, the law of every planet in the material world, is gravity. Gravity means everything goes down. No matter how much you try to put something up, it goes down. Who has control over the forces of gravity? You jump up. Even the greatest athlete who could jump so high, eventually he has to come down. And I may be sannyasi, perform so much tapasya for so many years, but this piece of cloth, it would be very convenient if it just stayed right here. Then I could just go like this whenever I needed it, instead of always searching, where is it? It's an anxiety. So I tell this cloth, stay right here. Don't go down. Stay here. If I was the Prime Minister of India, if I was the President of the United States, if I was Albert Einstein, it goes down. Doesn't matter who. Howard Hughes, Rockefeller, what is it, Mr. Gates, it goes down. It's the law of life. Everything's going down in this world. The very nature of this world is to push things down. Nothing naturally goes up, except fire. Fire naturally goes up. Sankirtan is like that fire. Sika. Sika means fire. It's supposed to make you go up. But the law of this world is everything's going down. So on a subtler plane, we should understand that this whole world was orchestrated in such a way to make your consciousness go down. If I want to keep this up, I have to struggle very attentively to make it go up. Otherwise, it goes down. If we are not struggling to make our consciousness go up, it goes down. The rivers flowing to the ocean. Everything in this material existence is flowing toward the ocean of material birth and death. Unless we're struggling to go across the current or against the current, we'll go down. So as soon as we leave the association of saintly people, as soon as we enter into the environment of worldliness, every atomic particle is programmed to bring your consciousness down. That means away from God. Everything is trying to influence you to be the enjoyer, to be the controller, to be the proprietor, to be attractive. Krishna consciousness is the natural process of bringing our consciousness up. Therefore, we have to be very, very attentive and serious to understand the reality around us. Stop looking for all these spit out canes of sugar. Stop searching, working, praying even. People go to church, to synagogue, to mosque, to temple, praying to God on their hands and knees, please give me back that piece of chewed down sugar cane that I've chewed for 8 million births. I want it again. I must have it. I'll do anything for it. anything materially we're asking for, that in essence is what we want. We want Krishna, the ever-fresh, all-pervading object of everyone's love, the supreme reservoir of all pleasure, his pastimes, his quality, his beautiful form, his names, his devotees, his service. They all awaken ecstasy within our hearts. But we must have faith in this principle. We essentially have to have faith that Maya is come to cheat us. Prabhupada gave great stress. The Vedic scriptures give so much stress on the nature of material life. If we're not convinced of it, we'll fall trap to Maya's false promises again and again and again. It is inevitable. Therefore, in the association of devotees, we have to remind each other. Bharat Maharaj, he was actually weeping in ecstasy and meditating on Krishna. He was on a preliminary stage of bhava. Such a great soul. The son of Rishabhdev. But yet living alone on the bank of Gandaki, when he saw that little deer all alone, mother dead, the deer was about to drown to death. He picked up that little deer, nursed it to health. He understood. It was a fact. If he didn't take care of that deer would die. It was a reality. And being a naturally compassionate and loving soul, he gave his heart to that deer. He was the mother, the father, the brother, the sister, the nurse, the friend, the playmate, to make that deer happy. And in the process, he gave up his sadhana. He gave up the chanting of the name. He gave up the meditation on the form of the Lord. And as soon as you give those things up, you go farther and farther and farther away from Krishna. And soon, from Krishna consciousness, he became deer conscious. Now, if he was living in the association of devotees, devotees would have seen this. One of his god brothers or god sisters or some fellow Vaishnava would have said, Bharat Prabhu, you're too attached to this deer. You've lost your intelligence. Have you chanted your rounds today? Have you read Srimad Bhagavatam today? Don't, this deer, the deer will survive. Give it what it needs. We'll help you take care of the deer, but chant your rounds. Come to Mangalarti. Definitely. Bharat Prabhu, you're in Maya. He would have gone back to Godhead. In that very life, if there was even one devotee around. So whoever we are, without the association of devotees, Maya will definitely somehow or other by her orchestrated expertise take your mind away from Krishna. She is empowered by the Lord to do that. So the association of devotees is the greatest blessing and gift of God because it helps us to focus and refocus our attention on what is really attractive, Krishna. On what our heart and soul really longs for, Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. And without that, whoever we may be. Again, Maya's powers will overcome us to bring us down. Down again to exploring material nature again for some other object to put our mind on and our senses to enjoy. Some sound, some touch, some smell, some thought, some dream, just to entertain the restless, agitated condition of the mind with something that's attractive. That's all the world is doing. But if we just put Krishna in the center with faith that he is all attractive. I may not be attractive, but I know that he's all attractive. Because it is written in the scriptures. Because all the great acharyas have spoken it. And because the very innate voice of my heart is saying, yes, this is what you want. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Srila Prabhupada is explaining so nicely that Krishna has manifested in many forms just to attract different people's minds according to their different natures. And if we simply practice remembering Krishna in this life, then it's natural that at the time of death we will remember Krishna. Antakale chamameva smaran matva kalevaram yaprayati samadvavam yati nasyatri sangshaya. Krishna says, and whoever at the time of death quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. That is the promise of the Lord. That is our faith. That is our hope. That is our aspiration. The example is given that the caterpillar meditates on a butterfly and by that meditation becomes a butterfly. Now, we may have so many scientific explanations of how the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. But Krishna's in the heart of the caterpillar. As human beings, we don't really know what's going on in the mind of the caterpillar. We're all speculative about these subjects. But Krishna's explaining. Krishna puts that intuition within the heart of the caterpillar to meditate on a butterfly. And then it goes into its cocoon and it comes out a beautiful butterfly. Just to teach us a lesson. If we meditate on Krishna's form, on Krishna's name, on Krishna's pastimes, on Krishna's qualities, on Krishna's service, Krishna is Satchit Ananda. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam. If we meditate on the Satchit Ananda form of Krishna, then it is guaranteed that we will come out of this cocoon of material ignorance with a Satchit Ananda form, a pure form, part and parcel of Krishna, to live as Krishna's own dear associate in the spiritual world of Vrindavan. You cannot buy a ticket with any money to the spiritual world of transcendental happiness. You cannot negotiate Ravana wanted to build a staircase to the heavens, but he failed. The spiritual world is the place which is our real home, the place of ecstatic love. There's only one price, and that is to always remember Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, as the mother and the father of all living beings, came to give us all the most opportune chance to go back to the spiritual world, to find the reservoir of ecstatic ras in this very life, Krishna, by associating with his devotees, by living in a spirit of servitude, and by always remembering Krishna through the chanting of his holy name. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakvadeham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorajana. Krishna says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities in this world never has to take birth in this material world again, but attains my eternal abode. Today, we are here, whether you know it or not, to celebrate the first birthday of Gokula Taruni Devi, who is the little daughter of Harish Prabhu and Gokul Rani Mataji. This is her first birthday. Is she here? Did you know this is why you came? I didn't know until I got here. Hari Hari. Here is the These days mothers never know where their babies are. But that's very nice. There's so many loving mothers that they trust. As a sannyasi, sometimes I wonder, there's little tiny babies and they're so fragile, if they fall down, God knows what will happen. And yet the mothers are just letting all the ladies just pick them up and walk around with them. And Haribol, there must be a lot of faith in Vaishnavas. She is 1 year old. Let us pray. Let us pray she never has to become 1 year old again for the rest of eternity. We've all been 1 year old so many millions and millions of times. We're tired of being 1 year old, 2 year old, 48 years old. How many times I've been 48 years? We're saying happy birthday. What's happy about it? We'll be happy when I don't have to have a birthday anymore. So let us pray that little Gokula Taruni, by the love and affection of her parents and the Vaishnavas, that she could live a very blissful, happy life, remembering Krishna, and realize her eternal loving service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the spiritual world. Let us offer this prayer by chanting Hari Bol. The test that you chant really loud enough with enough devotion is when she cries. She's transcendental. She passed the test. Arriba. She passed another test. Thank you very much. Now we will have kirtan. You could.
Hare Krishna. So, Dhruv Maharaj gayenge, tabhi hum apne daine par aage aur phir baaye par aage karke nitya karenge. Aur jab Maharaj jo hum gayenge tabhi haath upar karke hum Bhagwan se prarthna karenge. So when Radhana Swami is singing, we'll put our right leg in the front and then the left leg in the front, and with folded palms we'll be praying to the mercy of the Lord. And then when we are singing, we'll raise our arms and do the same thing. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
सर्व निर्मितीमध्ये भगवंताच्या निर्मितीमध्ये भगवंताच्या नावाचं जप